Carl Present, Deep Space and Dragons. I'm Richard.
I'm Carl. I'm presenting Deep Space and Dragons with Richard.
Good job. So, before we get into tonight's topic slash rant, what's new in the Carlverse?
Oh.
Or is the Carlverse tied directly into the episode and we should switch it up?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. Are we talking about Minecraft? Or are we talking about how much we hate D. Gray Man? Or
oh,
like,
we're hating on D. Gray Man. Definitely.
Okay.
Minecraft is so less of a rant.
That viewers of, or listeners to our podcast may know that my the place that I work at, the pizza place I worked at, is trying to become more more serious. 35 years in, and they're finally like, oh, maybe we should actually, like, you know, standardize our franchise practices and go and make sure people are being franchise compliant and whatnot, right?
The company that put the mascot on Rubik's Cubes, it's time for them to go serious?
Well, I mean, the two owners of the franchise as a whole, they are their own franchisees as well. And their stores that they own are the, you know, two most successful stores.
Be funnier if they weren't.
It would be funny. But it's like, when I mean successful, I mean, it's like they make more than $1 million a year in sales.
That is so many Skittles.
But so, like, they're successful, and the franchise has historically been very cheap and easy to get into.
Because you need a convection oven and a low high school completion rate to run one. Yes.
But now, you know, I had to do a franchise compliance check on a store that was it's the third most successful. I have no idea what their numbers actually are, but they're the third most successful TJs. And they've been around for about 15 years.
So I need to pause you for a moment. So if you're doing these compliance checks, is it possible you're soon going to be in a world where you can comp your work for a disguise because they'll know what you look like after a while? So you're going to have to, like, wear fake glasses and a fake mustache over top of your regular mustache so you can, like, sneak in and then show up later? Like, does this turn undercover boss? Because I support this life path.
No, it's not undercover boss. My boss got me to write up a compliance checklist, and then we just, like, go to the stores, go through the checklist. I've never... It's a weird position of, like, pseudo authority, because it's like, like I say, this franchise, the one that we went to, has been around for 15 years. It's very successful. They didn't have any explicit, like, franchise non-compliance things on our checklist, but, you know, there's a few comments here or there, it kind of feels like they don't, like, take me seriously. They're like, oh, who the heck are you? Well, I have more experience in pizza than you do. Like, what are you doing coming here trying to tell me that how I should run my business?
And then you do the full Walter White, and it's like, you know who I am, say my name.
Well, I mean, yeah, so it's just like on Monday my boss was like, yeah, come to my house in the morning, and then we'll drive out to this other franchise, and we'll do our checks. And so then the franchisee was talking to my boss and the other head boss. I was just going around doing my check. And I don't know if they were, like, intimidated by me or, like, if they, like, cause I've never done this kind of stuff before. Like, so, like, I'm not really sure. A, I'm not really sure how much authority I actually have. B, I don't know how receptive business owners that have been in business for, you know, 10 plus years are going to be. And then, like, see,
can I,
like,
chime in with a side tangent about part of my what's new with me, but not really?
Okay.
So, a acquaintance of mine told another acquaintance of mine that they thought I was scary. So, I'm telling my good friend Cassie that someone on Earth finds me scary. and she laughed in my face for a solid minute. The very concept that I could scare somebody was like on the floors laughing. Just not even a remote possibility of like, well, maybe I'm scary. But it's like, I don't want to be scary. But also, I understand why you'd want to be scary. Like, I'm not a scary person. Except to this one individual, apparently. But the idea of being scary, having grown up as a nerd, would be interesting. But from the sound of my voice, how I sound like 3 octaves higher than a 30-redacted-year-old man should sound, just makes me innately not scary. I look how I sound, which is young for an English professor, old for a TA. And just that exact look. I basically look like the angel in Good Omens.
Oh, wow. That's very, very self-flattering.
Yeah, I'll take the compliment. I definitely look like a bookstore owner, and you know it.
That's fair. Anyway, I mean, there's not really much interesting to this story, because it's like I did my check, then I made some comments, and they're like, and then then I came back, I typed up the comments and sent them the sheet, and I adjusted the sheet based on their feedback, because, you know, it's literally just something my boss handed me a page full of chicken scratch, and I had to try and decipher it and make a semi-professional, intelligent-looking compliance check.
I really appreciate, so I have this mental picture there. There's a piece of paper, and it's a stick figure holding a pizza with fire doodles on their hand, and you're like, understood, wear gloves.
In any event, I feel like the check was good, and they were a little bit more receptive to the email, because I made adjustments to the checklist based on their feedback, but I don't know, it's just kind of this like I'm still managing the store that I'm at, but then it's like,
you're
sometimes on my days off, it's just sometimes when I'm on my day off, they just like, yeah, let's go visit a store, and then you can get paid extra money from the licensing corporation, because our accountants don't like it when our store pays for licensing corporation duties.
So, it is good that you can siphon those duties for personal profit.
I suppose so. Anyway, it's like, I'm not exactly like anxious or worried or anything. It's just, it's like, I like.
Well, you're not good at being mean. That's just a fact.
But and just like I'm just uncertain about like. Obviously, I should be taken seriously because, like, I'm doing a franchise compliance check. But then it's like, how seriously do I take the job? Because it's like, one of the, my boss told me to put a note on the checklist that the owner there needs to wear a beard net. And so then I put it on there, and then the owners are reading through the checklist, and they get to that comment, and he just like glares at me and gives me the finger, and it's like, I just put it on there because I was told to.
Well, it's funny is that I've had a lot of managers over the years because I spent a short lifetime in kitchens, and the ideal manager is the one who realizes that the culinary industry has no stakes whatsoever. They have the meats but not tension. So the cliche angry kitchen manager is pointless. So I find the chill kitchen manager is actually better at the job, because realistically, kitchen managing is more suggestions than ordering, because, yeah, they don't have a beer net, and the hypothetical is that a hare gets in a pizza, and you lose one customer for life, causing the restaurant to lose 0.00000000.1% of its revenue. Possibly.
Yeah.
Because that's this one person's like, oh no, there's one hare ever, I will burn this place to the ground. Because even people in a restaurant who are ordering from that restaurant will walk in, see the beard, and they're not going to think, yeah, I'm never going to eat this pizza at 2 in the morning because this guy has a person has a beard. Or it's 3 in the morning, you literally have a monopoly on it. I don't think a beard net's going to make or break it. So it should be delivered with the candace it deserves, which is, you should be doing it this way. We acknowledge it. Think about what you've done. And then you walk away. Because the stakes actually more than a $5 difference in revenue between doing and not doing this thing. But having rules to hold people accountable mostly exists so if there's like repeated issues, you can cite the rule. So example, if you have a beard rule, then if you notice someone is repeatedly causing beard problems, you can be like, you should probably see a hair loss clinic. And then you can cite the beard rule. So that is my rant on this is, you want a nice balance. But with that, anything else in the world of Carl before we just talk about management etiquette for the next X amount of time that we have left on our quota of time?
No, like I said, not a particularly what's new with me.
That's
just
pretty
kind of like
interesting.
The
thing is, imagine someone, take a moment and open your mind's eye for a minute. Someone has made through 72 episodes of Deep Space and Dragons for whatever reason, possibly from Delaware, right. Possibly from Germany, most likely from Germany. And they've heard little bits of Carl's journey. They've watched you like get promoted and go from like cook to field agent over the course of the stream. So like they're like, I don't know how harsh I should be. It's like a full character arc at this point for our dedicated listeners. Like they're like, oh, Carl is trying to figure out if he's scary or not. That's like going in their dream journals.
Yeah, I wonder if I should just like get an eye patch to make myself look more intimidating.
First off, yes. Plus, then your eyesight will be as bad as mine.
Oh, I do actually need glasses. That'll be what's new with me in the future when I actually get glasses. But
then you'll be the nerd, and we can't have two nerds on our nerd podcast. It would ruin the entire flow. I'm going to have to get LASIK now.
Or I could be, just appropriate for my age.
Boo.
I mean, like, everybody knows that I was around when Tiddlywinks were popular, according to that one episode.
How dare you try and carbon date us? We're supposed to be ethereal, ageless creatures.
Well, I mean, now they know that I'm at least that old, right?
I love the idea. Obviously. It's like, what is your age? It's like, well, we're younger than most running presidents.
I don't know if there are any running presidents our age.
It's like, it's funny because I go through such age whiplash where there's days where I'm like, I am very clearly older than my peers, and other days where I'm like, well, I just air fried a hot dog and wrapped it in a tortilla and called it dinner.
Well, okay, so what is actually new with you there, Richard?
Oh.
Aside from being scary to one person.
So, other than being scary to an individual and starting up my summer semester, so a lot of it's school stuff like working on capstone projects, students, commutes, da-da-da-da-da-da, nice weather. But an occurrence just happened, which was what made me late for this live broadcast, is I was talking to my brother, who's known you for what, a decade? More.
Well, quite a while, yeah.
Probably like, not to date ourselves, somewhere between 10 and 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much as long as I've known you, because you guys lived together when we first met.
Exactly. So imagine when I learned, my unbridled joy, that he doesn't know if it's Carl with a C or a K, and I refuse to tell him. But I did explain to him that's very important and it matters.
What? I didn't introduce myself? I shouldn't spoil the surprise. I mean, I think most people already know based on the title to our podcast.
And the fact it comes up like at least once every four episodes specifically?
For a very long time, I actually introduced myself as Carl with a K, which became problematic because that's like a hook for people to remember your name. Like, oh, he's not just Carl, he's Carl with a K, right?
Like, I can introduce myself as that Richard at the campus now, and it works.
I have a problem where I'm really good with faces, but I'm not all that great with names. And so I'll recognize a face, and the person will know my name because I introduced myself and I hooked it in their brain.
See, that seems like
their name, and it's
a polite
awkward
way to do it. Where I bluff, everyone on the earth is like, oh, yeah, this is Richard, good personal friend. And because of my, like, Pokemon-style memory, I'll be like, Carl, nerd type, likes using Young Link. And that's like my entire knowledge base of this person. So I'll be like, classmate with glasses, likes poetry, activism. So they'll come up and be like, hi, Richard, you remember me, right? I'm like, yes, I've read your piece on activism, and I know you're putting together a poetry collection. Don't know their name. Never learned it.
Never learned their name.
Did not go in the database. Probably would know their favorite Digimon if it came up, though. So
that would be pretty funny.
That's pretty much what's new with me, is it turns out being a student is very exciting to me specifically, but unless like an actual like event or workshop or something happens, I can't really talk too much about it. Also, like, I feel like going on my stream and publicly disparaging my education system when I'm like job hunting with this publicly available information may not be the best strategy. So I have to like keep the really spicy tea to like off the record comments.
Right, right.
Because my post-secondary experience has been great, but also it's a post-secondary experience.
Post-secondary experience.
But I will call out Redacted College I attend. The kitchen in Redacted College charges an extra 10 cents for cutlery with your meal. Not just if you want free cutlery because you brought your microwave food and forgot your cutlery, but you'll order a chicken wrap for $8, and they'll be like, the cutlery will be an extra 10 cents, and not ask you while you're ordering it, so you have to, like, find your 10 cents. And I'm like,
that is pretty funny.
Millions of dollars move through here. Billions, maybe. I think you can, if someone's paying you thousands of dollars to be here, I think it's okay to give them a spoon. I think it'll be okay. But apparently not.
Well, I mean, COVID is still largely affecting...
Don't blame COVID for my college being cheap.
Oh, all I'm saying is that even, as I say, like our store is successful... But the store that I work at is successful, but they're still looking for cost-saving ways, little cost-saving things, because it has never returned to the profitability that it was before COVID.
Counterpoint. Then someone at the very top should sell one of their cars and the problem solved. See, that's the thing. Like, you hear a lot of things like mass layoffs, corporate costs, and they explain, like, well, you have to. And I'm like, not all businesses should be growing in profitability every year, because then the earth will die and you're a cancer. So if your business made profit, that's what people should look at. But people instead look at, did it make record profit? And if you didn't make as much profit as last year, it's a problem. I don't feel bad when someone's statement is, we weren't able to get as many investors to buy our stock hypothetically because our growth didn't meet expectations. I'm like, but you still made enough money to live comfortably. Like, if you were operating a pizzeria at a loss, I don't know what to tell you. You did something horribly wrong. If you didn't make as much profit as before COVID, boo-hoo-hoo, it's not like people died or anything.
Oh, that's fair.
So when you hear, yeah, we're looking for measures to cut, I'm like, no! Just accept you made less money and move on with your life. Don't impact your service of your product. And don't charge 10 cents for forks. Just make less money. That's allowed. You can just make less money when the economy doesn't have stimulus checks going around, guys. You're allowed to do that.
Anyway, I don't know. I just find like purging of your food court out that you're
no. Calling. Like, I want to disparage the heck out of it. I just kind of want to complain about how everything has to be record something these days. Letting my age show. Like, literally every Marvel movie for an 8-year stretch was talking about how it was the best-selling one of all time. And, like, you know, that doesn't seem sustainable, right?
Oh, it's definitely not sustainable. Poor Marvel.
Yeah, I feel as bad for them as I possibly can. I love the new X-Men cartoon's pretty good. But let's get into our topic at hand, because I've rambled long enough. So.
I mean, yeah, you actually managed to ramble longer than me.
I'm allowed to do that once in a while. It's my show. Or your show. Actually, nothing would be funnier than if, like, you poorly photoshopped out the Richard on our title card. It just was blank and Carl presents. And you just monologued for an hour.
That would be pretty funny.
And I'm sure at some point I'll actually commit to the joke where you look at it and there's a poorly sharpied C over the K. And it's just for that one episode.
Mm.
And that's the day I die. So, D. Gray Man, I'm setting a timer. You have 4 minutes. Explain as much of the plot of D. Gray Man as possible, whilst I cackle.
Well, I mean, the plot of D. Gray Man is that an orphan kid goes and joins an order of exorcists who fight demon called Akuma using weapons called Innocence.
So, and 90% of anime has been described, including Blue Exorcist.
Yes. But then there's some pseudo-Christian iconography involved, which means that
I'm gonna play the Frieza
actual
game.
Enemy.
I'm gonna pause you. So I'm gonna play the Dragon Ball Z Frieza game. Whenever you describe something, I'm just gonna say a number, and that number is how many times I've seen that happen in a different anime. So
okay,
re-roll it back. Start with Orphan Kid again.
Orphan Kid joins an order of exorcists.
12.
Okay. He uses a mysterious sentient weapon known as Innocence.
Two Innocence, specifically, and...
Right.
Mysterious sentient weapon can't even hit every character in Bleach.
Okay. They fight... Well, the original description of the Akuma are machines powered by souls bound to that machine by grief.
Two?
Yeah. Oh,
technically, one of those was Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah. Okay,
Barry the Chopper.
I mean, that's fair.
I'm not counting Al, I'm counting Barry the Chopper specifically.
But it turns out their actual enemy is a clan of people known as the Clan of Noah. So I haven't actually completed the series, but my speculation is that they migrated to the D. Gray Man universe from another universe after the world ended, using an interdimensional ship called the Ark.
Nope, it's Noah from the Bible.
Literally Noah from the Bible?
Yep. Hmm.
Okay.
Just to hurt you a bit.
Why?
I don't know. However, some of the best things I've heard... Like, the Noah's Ark was a spaceship I've seen a few times, including in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Season. But also, in Mega Man X9, I think it was, they had a location called Noah's Park.
Okay.
Because they decided to put a bunch of the cliche anime Christian references they love to put in things that are like... They're like reference... I feel like the same thing would happen if I tried to put Shinto in one of my works, where it'd be like, you clearly heard these words from cartoons and you just threw them in at random. That's how you get Jacob's Elevator in Noah's Park.
That's funny. But so then it turns out that the strange orphan kid his destiny is intertwined with the main villain, and he's slowly being taken over by the personality of a Noah.
12? Probably 12.
12 people getting taken over by alternate personalities.
We got
slowly.
Some Yuji going on in here. We got some Boruto going on in here. What was that? I think Heart Gear a little bit might have did that. And
I didn't get that far, but it's interesting.
I'm not going to count Zamasu. It has to be like the slow inner voice taking you over. It doesn't really count. Technically, Bleach again. Twice. Both Yuha and Hollow Ichigo?
Yeah. right now... so, the Shonen Jump app, I caved, and I decided to actually resubscribe, because it's still cheap, and it doesn't... Just because I can't go directly through PayPal doesn't mean it isn't worth having. And so I read all of the vault chapters that they have for D. Gray Man. It only goes up to 245, which is right in the middle of the flashback of Alan's origin story as an orphan. He doesn't even remember his own name.
Technically, Attack on Titan did that too. So there's a total of 248 chapters.
Really?
Yeah.
There's I'm like three chapters from the end.
I think so. And that's, I feel like there's no... I remember the ending being deeply unsatisfying. So the thing about D. Gray Man is I read it after I played the character on Jump Ultimate Stars. So, like, I don't know, several lunar cycles ago, maybe a few solar. I don't know why I decided this episode to be needlessly vague about my age, but I will.
I mean, it's fine.
It's so many things I've seen better that I honestly can't remember what happened in it. Like, Evil Clown Villain I've seen like four or five times. Just because clowns be scary. Done best in Cowboy Bebop. Done most concerning in Hunter Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
My problem with Hisoka, and this could easily be a 30-minute rant, is don't make your pedophile character cool. Because that's a problem. That's a big problem. So, like, if you're like, oh, I'm going to give this character badass moments and make him really cool, don't frame them in a presidential manner. Just don't.
Yeah, I mean, begrudgingly, I have to admit that Hisoka is a cool character and generally seems way cooler than the Millennium Earl, because I don't even know.
Oh, the Millennium Earl. Which is twins, but not. Which, I don't know how many times I've seen that trope of, like, yeah, we split the villain into two characters, one good, one evil. But it wasn't Jackie Chan Adventures. Oh, do we count Shadoo taking over Dude Guy's body in season 2?
Oh.
You see, I just shouted out a random number, and now I'm trying to find 10. But I feel like that happened for all intents and purposes to Jackie Chan Adventures.
The yin and yang of the villain and the hero.
Mm-hmm.
They're two sides of the same coin.
Or just Jackie literally using a yin yang talisman to turn into two Jackie Chans, and one was slightly sassier than the other. Which is a classic storytelling trope. So, what's funny is D. Gray Man, I think it came out before Bleach, but I'm not sure.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's, like you say, there's so many things that I feel like I've seen done better. It really makes me wonder what it was running against contemporaneously. And like, actually, so
I'm doing a little research.
Complaint.
So it came out, first chapter, in 2004. May 31st, 2004.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's not recent, but it's more recent than I thought it might be.
And then the Bleach anime came out in 2004. So Bleach does predate it by a little bit. If I'm getting these numbers right. But, like, I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of shows do the weird Victorian England evil church motif.
Right.
I would probably do it myself, to be honest, because I don't hate that trope. But nothing about this really struck me. Also, his hand cannon got nerfed for no reason. It, like, upgraded to no longer have a cannon function.
I don't know. Like I say, I personally don't really... I don't understand why authors put the random... religious references in this story, like Christian religious references. It's not like it bothers me because I'm not religious. You can be religious if you want. That's fine.
In this economy,
if it helps you.
Be religious in this economy? Yeah, right.
Well, all I'm saying is that is like I don't care how you live your life. If being religious and going to services
and improves going to exorcism academy.
If it improves your sense of community and self-worth and helps you be a better person, power to you. But I don't know, there's just something about the religious references in here. It's just like, so at first it kind of looks like it's just for the iconography, so they can have like crosses all over the place and it can feel like a church. And
kind of like
wear,
how Neon Genesis Evangelion things fire literally cross-shaped Hadoukens at each other. Although they were going somewhere with that, to be fair.
But so then they they referenced the Clan of Noah. And it's like, okay, like, why?
Well, so it feels like, this is a weird take, but it's almost like a ChatGPT, you asked it to put in religious themes, and that's what it came up with. Like, they don't feel like they're woven in particularly well.
Yeah, because then suddenly it's like, it's the 13 apostles. Oh, but wait, there's a 14th apostle who for some reason is the pianist, plays the piano.
Sure. Did a piano exist? It doesn't matter.
See, there was a point in the series, all of the main characters are on the Ark, and the Ark is some sort of digital subspace that was being downloaded to a new Ark, and if you're in a room,
like, I feel like it was being set
Ark,
up for the
die.
Whole spaceship thing, and they just didn't get to it in the three chapters they had left.
but so then, most of the characters end up dying. Alan makes it to the top of the tower, and then suddenly his mentor appears out of nowhere and says, "Hey, go to this mysterious room and play this piano." And it's like, that would have been so easy to foreshadow in any way. but then somehow him playing this piano because he has other alter egos or something, brings back the dead that got crushed to death by being deleted in subspace.
So it's like,
I was so mad I almost stopped reading at that point. I think that was somewhere around like chapter 130-ish, which puts it right in line with my theory that most series that go more than 100 to 150 chapters just lose their focus around that mark.
So what's kind of funny about that 150 chapters point is I think part of it too is story structuring. So when we look at stuff like Full Metal Alchemist, it was very clearly structured and written to be a cohesive story.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at something like One Piece, it was designed to be shorter, more punchy arcs. And weirdly enough, the shorter, more punchy arcs tend to like age better than when you try and do one overweaving story. So D. Greyman, Bleach, and a couple other ones are like, okay, you built your story up around one really cool villain. And weirdly enough, they pointed this out in Bakuman, like they meta pointed this out. If you have a hero and a villain and build it up, you get a very compelling early game and mid game. But you run out of chapter count because you can only keep two people fighting each other so long before you need new characters or new action. So, Bleach, when it's like, this is Aizen and this is the Aizen show, I'm like, okay, I can keep a chance of that. And then they're like, all right, Aizen sealed, now to do a 1,000-year blood war. Didn't work as well as One Piece having its billion plot arcs because you made us really care about this one conflict and this next conflict has nothing to do with it. And then the animation's just kind of saving the day by being super pretty. But it's...
Well, I mean, the next plot arc has so little impact that you even forgot about the Fullbringers.
I just chose to... that rant will use another half hour, man. I don't have the time to explain why Fullbringer makes me angry. But, like, when we look at the design, and we've reviewed a fair number of anime, TV shows, mangas, and things on this beautiful podcast, is that the biggest problem of D. Greyman was it was built around the Millennium Earl. The only, there's a few animes where you can build it around one core villain and it works. Right. But those are rarer. Like, we all agree Death Note, and I say all, like, the entire internet. When L died, Death Note should have just ended because it was no longer engaging.
Right.
Or they could have moved to, like, his tragic ending. But, like, they shouldn't have put new pieces on the board. Attack on Titan's time skip. Oof. Big oof. Can't even, like, just oof. And I think the issue is that when you look at, like, old superhero comics and things, they did those lengthy serializations, and they had villains come and go, and they didn't often pull characters off the board. They would just get rid of them for a while and let them come back.
Right.
If you're releasing a weekly comic strip, you don't actually want one overarching villain. So One Piece really didn't. They like showed like five elders eventually, or they mentioned their seven warlords, and just didn't really use them. And then right. One Piece, and then Naruto Part 1 didn't have overarching villains. It was ninjas go on missions. Oh, Snake Guy's a creep. Oh, Sasuke's brother's a creep. But they weren't villains, right? Like, it wasn't Naruto didn't have a villain until you get to, like, Act 3 when it starts falling to pieces.
Right.
Because your villain, then, is required to do a lot of heavy lifting. And Madara was not an interesting villain. Obito was. Madara was not. So, D. Greyman, their villain, was not strong enough to carry past 150 pages.
Nah.
So they changed him completely.
But then one of my other big complaints about the manga that I've found, and now knowing that it's written after Bleach, at the very least.
Around the same time. Like, it would have been in the same magazine. So Bleach wouldn't have gotten very far.
I've found that the best way to put this is that the fight scenes in D. Greyman don't seem choreographed, which might sound like a compliment, and in some cases it would be, but in this case, it means that I don't think the author had a clear idea of how the fight was going to go. It just who was going to win.
So what's interesting? I read the Wikipedia page on this earlier, before this episode, and the quote on the Wikipedia page under critical reception, which really gets at what you're saying, is where can I find it? Is like, some certain plot points came out of nowhere. Story was kept from its full potential, being generic, but also, I'm trying to find the exact word. It was something like, the battles were practically unintelligible, but like the rest of the artwork.
Well, yeah, like, I have such a hard... Considering all of the series that have come before, like, Dragon Ball, Naruto, Bleach, I had a whole list in my head. One Piece. It's like there is a very, like, Claymore is another great example that has...
Maybe not JoJo's.
JoJo's. No, the first three seasons of... Even the most current season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure does a way better job. Like, something unexpected happens, but you can tell who was doing it, and they do a decent job of explaining what happened.
Although the JoJo's effect is interesting, because there's, like... You know that effect in anime where there's always someone watching the fight so they can yell out what's happening? And then Jujutsu Kaisen's the funniest because the narrator just cheats. They're like, yeah, I can't be bothered, so I'll just literally write it in box text. And I'm like, I don't know what's tackier, honestly. It's just writing on the page. He's using his malevolent kitchen, which has cutting and fire powers. That's why he has fire powers, because he's a chef who eats people.
On the one hand, it's like, obviously your story is like your powers are too ridiculous and absurd if you have to use a narrator to explain what's going on. But on the other hand, at least it shows that he took time and effort to choreograph the fight in his head on how it was going to go, not just they start here and they...
So you know what's a really fun over here. Anime trope? The number of tropes that specifically break into their power system, if you explain what you did, it works better. So, like, Hunter, if you literally explain your power, it strengthens the power. Bleach does the same thing, where, like, yeah, I explain my power because it makes the power stronger. And then Edward Elric was just an insufferable know-it-all and just could not wait to tell you that he made carbon into his arm into diamonds to punch you. No one made him explain to the villains what he was doing. He just enjoyed doing it, because that's how he trash talked. He'd be like, hey, guess what? Stole your disassemble scar, neener, neener, neener.
Yeah.
But the 14th...
But yeah,
I just found the idea that they went with Noah's, and I'm just... So here's a little grip, and it's a very petty grip. If you're going to choose a setting like England, France, Germany, Space Earth, whatever have you, and this came up in one of my like workshop groups with one of my friends at class, actually. If you use the correct term, it makes people assume that there's some sort of history and facts going on, right?
Right.
So what I really, really hated in this series, and it's the most petty thing to hate, is if you're going to go with exorcists and Noah's for some reason and Noah's Ark, don't call the villains Akuma. They should be demons. Because in the context, why would they be called that?
Well, another gripe about the random inserting of religious
iconography. It's like when Bleach would randomly decide that all Quincy's use German words and all Espada used Mexican in Spanish. However, he was consistent with it. It was out of nowhere and made no sense, but at least he had the decency to be consistent about it.
But so it's like they're exorcists. Mm-hmm. They're fighting the Noahs. And then there was kind of, I feel like it's not going to go anywhere, knowing that there's only three chapters I haven't read. There was a bit where they were the seven deadly sins. You know, one person had wrath.
Like they do in, that one, probably 50 anime have had seven villains that are seven deadly sins. They even tried to explain one time that all the Espada was a different method of death, and they just kind of worked that in at freaking nowhere. Like, no, it wasn't. You numbered them based on combat ability. They didn't have theming. I call bullshit on this whole premise.
Well, and then, like I said, then they ditched that because now they're apostles, and then suddenly there's a 14th apostle, and it's like, you're using all of these religious terms, but you're just not being consistent, and the religious terms don't really seem to serve any greater purpose in your narrative, unless your ultimate goal is to disparage religion, which is also
fair.
But it's super tropey.
And to follow on the trope a bit, a better version of this manga called Blue Exorcist is pretty consistent about their terminology, and they literally are grouped as like where you could be a swordsman, a gunner, an orator. And you read Bibles at things, shoot them with silver bullets and cut them with swords. I'm like, you're very consistent. Like, your villains are named after different things. You call it the Genna Gate. Like, you were consistent-ish.
Mm.
I say ish, because it would be weird to steal Satan from the Bible in a katana.
Right.
But you do you, right? Like, it's like, by that logic, if you'd want to scream cultural appropriation at people, then I'm not allowed samurais, which is unfortunate.
Oh, no more samurais for you.
Because they're cool. But, definitely they didn't take my college-level research for writing class before writing De Grey Man.
Also,
the show Seven Deadly Sins really didn't... Actually, Seven Deadly Sins was pretty good about taking just enough Britannia mythology. It was weirdly consistent for how dumb that show was. They do their Boruto ending at the end of it for their, Knights of the Apocalypse. And it's like, yeah, no, this is Meliodas's and Elizabeth's son, Tristan, I think it was. I'm like, wait, is that accurate from the Canterbury Tales? Huh. Oh, yeah, no, there's a demon Meliodas right here. Oh, you literally took the Canterbury Tales and did a story for their parents. I don't know why you decide to name them after the Seven Sins. That doesn't match this at all. But at the very least, you called the place Britannia and blew up Avalon. This is fair. King Arthur would have been there and been 12. You opened a book, and when your lore is losing to Seven Deadly Sins, you got a problem.
You sure do.
Throwing shade at Seven Deadly Sins is fun because it's it's not great, but it's a good measuring stick. It is very much an anime and a manga, and is as good as it should be.
As good as it should be.
Kind of like when you watch Baki, you're not expecting to be blown away by the writing.
I was just a little bit disappointed with the writing in D. Gray Man specifically, because it was, it showed up in the Jump Ultimate Stars, and there's a fairly long-running series. There's some people who think it's really great, and it's like, oh man, maybe this is actually worth reading. And then I'm reading through it, and it's like the battles are unintelligible. There's annoying references to Christianity that serve no purpose.
No, it didn't have apostles.
Exactly.
Also, why are they so afraid? This is going to be a controversial statement, get us internet canceled. But if you're going to go to the length of having Noah's Ark, a spaceship, and 12 Apostles, just actually put Jesus in your series as a character. Just stop being a coward and go for it. Because, like, they'll be like, well, I'll definitely put Methuselah as a character. I'm like, come on. If you're going to do the thing, commit. Like, if you're going to put Noah from the Bible in your character, he better just shoot a flood at somebody.
Oh, okay, okay. I would like some spoilers. I don't know if anybody in our audience would like some spoilers, but, like, what do you mean Noah from the Bible? Like, that, how does that even fit? Which character was Noah from the Bible? Was it his mentor?
Something like that. I don't remember. I'm gonna be real. I just remember there wasn't like some satisfying revelation to the Noahs. They were just called that because there was an ark, I guess. And like they didn't explain it at any point when I was reading it. So like I guess they're just implying that the Noah's transportation device, known as the Noah's Ark, is just the same one from the Bible, I guess, because they never actually went anywhere with it.
Right, because there's only 3 chapters left, and, like, there's no way they can give any sort of satisfying conclusion at this point.
Mm-hmm. Unlike the final Evangelion movie that somehow wrapped it up.
Seriously, only 248 chapters?
I think so. I'm double-checking now. Manga. Do 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 do. Double checking. Do 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 do. This is my double checking song.
It's a good song.
245.
Well, no, that's how many chapters are in the vault on.
And then the ones that aren't currently been released in format is 246 to 250.
Ah, so there's 5 more chapters. Mm-hmm. Still not enough time to go from chapter 245 to an actual ending.
I mean, I'm sure they could. Rocks fall, everyone dies. Boom, solved.
Well, I mean, that would be an actual ending, but it would be almost as bad as the everything was a dream ending.
I haven't actually seen someone pull that card in a while.
Well, that's because it's so classically bad.
So, I was playing through Honkai Star Rail. Mobile game, not a sponsor. Surprisingly good, even though it's trying to get me to spin a vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they did the it was all a dream all along thing, kind of. But they did it really well, and I'm like, oh, dang, game, you got me. Like, I killed a boss, everyone gave their happy dialogue, and my character starts getting suspicious. Because, like, the greedy corporate people are like, I guess we can send some money to rebuild. And the nerdy scientist people are like, yeah, I guess we should research this. And my protagonist's like, these people are greedy and selfish. Wait a minute. So, like, they wrapped it up, like, cliche happy endings for everybody, and my protagonist's like, that's not right! And then gets stabbed into going up a level of dream to realize that the dream enemy threw them in a deeper dream. And you're like, hey, wait a minute! Everyone's happy, this isn't right! Unless everyone got emotionally mature in the last 5 minutes, something is off here. So, like, it subverted it more than I was expecting for a mobile game, because this mobile game has weirdly good writing. Which is the only thing keeping me for it. But with that, I think we're going to move into our random questions. So we recently got a new feature on our podcast host where there's now a link at the top of the episode description on all apps to then send a random question directly to our podcast site.
Okay.
Making it easier than ever for me to lose your questions.
Nice.
Well, usually I'm monologuing ramping for time when I try and find where on my computer I put it, which is not next to the folders labeled job hunt question mark or career exclamation point. Or draft, okay. This time I mean it for realsies.
Okay. Then while you're trying to
and
find the real random questions.
Found it.
Ah, dang it.
What is your favorite cocktail?
Okay. My favorite cocktail?
Yeah. I don't know if you use this one, but your answer might just have changed over the last forever.
Well, no. I mean, technically, spiced rum and ginger ale is a cocktail.
It is. No one used a cocktail shaker or a little lime spiral or nothing.
Ryan Coke, also technically a cocktail.
I'm noticing a
bikini
theme.
Bikini martinis? Bikini martinis are pretty good. But I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with peach schnapps. Like, you put it in things and it makes things taste like Skittles. It's great.
So
so many very fruity drinks.
Very fair.
What's your favorite cocktail?
So I'm whimsical, so I'll just order something that looks tasty. The most recent thing I had was like, it was a soju pomegranate thing, and it was really good, and I inaccurately describing it. But I think the last cocktail I had, like, that someone had to mix was, we went for brunch, and I had a classic pina colada, and they put it in, like, no, it was a blue raspberry pina colada, that was it. And put in, like, the pineapple-shaped glass with, like, the herbs on top, making the little, like, ruffly top. And it was delightful. Mm-hmm. And blue. The best cocktails are blue. Heard it here first, folks.
Oh, that's good, because Bikini Martini is another blue cocktail, so...
You can tell something's tasty if it's the color of antifreeze. Disclaimer, do not drink antifreeze.
Well, I mean, there is one caveat to that. If you need to figure out whether or not it's oil or antifreeze, you are supposed to taste it, and antifreeze will be sweet, where oil will taste like horribly disgusting oil.
No! Don't! No! There's other ways to tell!
Apparently there isn't. That's what the mechanic told me. They're like, oh, you see a spot under your thing, it could be oil, it could be antifreeze, you gotta taste it, and the antifreeze will be sweet, and the oil will just taste awful.
Go to a different mechanic who's not drinking the antifreeze!
You don't drink it. You just, like, dab your finger in it and then, like, lick it.
That's a poison!
Well, not that poisonous.
Apparently, no! No! Those listening at home, don't lick antifreeze, and if you must, I was against it. Please send lawsuits to Carl at Deep Space and Dragons.
Well, I mean, hopefully by now they know that everything we say is just an opinion. Possibly a joke, possibly... I mean, the best jokes are rooted in some amount of truth anyways.
That is fair.
But...
And we have one last question to wrap it up.
Okay.
So, if your pet could speak, what would it say about you?
If my pet could speak... Well, see, problematically, I don't actually have a pet of my own.
Well, I mean, you do have a cat you used to yeet. For rude things you did not expect me to bring up today. So,
I mean, Smokey the cat was a jerk who would lie on top of you and then get mad at you when you moved. So, I mean, I feel like Smokey the cat would be like, that guy's an asshole, but his belly is warm.
And then Mr. Miko, if he could speak and was talking about me, he'd be like, he's sometimes but when big human goes to bed, little human is supposed to give me second dinner, and sometimes he doesn't. It's not okay, because I like second dinner. I need crunchies to be full, and I need the soft food, because I need that balance. Like, what is this? What, the service in this hotel is just not what it used to be. Like, my cat is such a pampered princess, he'll be like, I don't get it. Housekeeping did not clean up my vomit fast enough. Like, 3 stars.
Have to clean it up myself.
Yep. Which he will do. Like, he'll just, like, drag towels over things. Like, they didn't even thank me. Like, I cleaned up that spill I made from that subpar food he gave me that I ate too much of because he gave me too much. But I hope Miko would say that he loved me. But that is not what would happen.
No, definitely not.
And with that, I think we wrap up this episode. So, key takeaways. D. Grayman, a worse blue exorcist is my official stance. And I don't even know if I rate blue exorcist that highly.
My official stance is overrated. It's. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone who really, really likes it, but I'm sorry. I think it's overrated.
And to loop back around, remember how I started this episode with a rant that everything feels the need to be the best? You know how many times I've been told blank anime or manga or series is the new king? And it's just not. Like, I had someone look me dead in the eye and tell me Solo Leveling is the best series. It's not. I promise you, it's not. So, D. Grayman was meh. But... if you must read on a bus, there are worse things you can do to yourself. It's okay that it's not the best. It's a background character you have to Google while playing Jump Ultimate Stars.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's only one series in Jump Ultimate Stars that I don't know what its name is, and it's the one with the police officer guy.
Koji Kami, I think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't even know if I can read that on Shonen Jump or where how I would go about reading it, but I'm pretty sure that's the only one that I couldn't name and or haven't read.
True, because it's no bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo, an actual work of high-quality literary fiction. So I think our actual takeaway is you could read D. Greyman, or you could read Bobo.
If you have the Shonen Jump app, D. Greyman should be like on the bottom of your list.
But
you're scraping the bottom of the barrel to find content if you're reading D. Greyman on the Shonen Jump app, because there is a ton of better content.
Wow, we're so mean. Like, watch one of our active in chat listeners right now be the artist being like, I tried so hard for that. For the record, I'm not certain I could write something better, but I could fight. I'd be able to put up a good fight. And on that note, you should buy my book, The Waltz of Blades, on Amazon. Or The Minuet of Sorcery, Smooth. Which is better.
Smooth.
Hey, my second book is just better than my first book. It is a harsh truth of this world. It's like I got better as a writer. Or just got so sick of reading my own books the first time that the second one's fresher in my brain.
Maybe, who knows?
But with that, I don't know. Read. Reading is good. I think we can agree reading is good, fundamentally.
Yeah, reading is fundamentally good. Even if it's comics, it's better than reading nothing at all. Keep your brain sharp,
Indeed. Oh man, is this where we just start posting entire 15-page chapters on Instagram so people can flip through it and then they'll accidentally realize they've read entire series? But have a lovely night. Something something sign off. Good job, team.
Bye.
Bye. D. Greyman was so mid. And it's only mid because I've read actually bad things that if I told people to read, they would take spiritual damage and go to jail somewhere.